Samuel chapter number 2. Glad that you're here. I know this service has been kind of action-packed. We've had a lot going on. I'm going to try to tie a lot of it together with the sermon today, praying about what to preach. So this message will in some way be a charge to our graduate. But I don't want you to say, well, I'm not graduating, and I already did that years ago. I'm telling you, this is very applicable to you because we all want the blessings of God on our life. We all want to live the successful Christian walk, and we all want to walk inside of God right. And so it's helpful for all of us. And we're going to use a negative example, which I sort of hate to do, but in some ways we can learn from a negative example. And so I've just entitled this message, and really here's the punchline, and here's the secret to a successful Christian life. And here's the secret to walking right before God all your days is right here. Honor God. And the way this sort of ties everything together is that's what we do on Memorial Day. We're honoring those who have fallen. As we congratulate our seniors for graduating or even our King's kids, what we're doing, we're honoring them. And so now I want to turn the focus and use that word honor to think about how we should honor the Lord. If you found 1 Samuel chapter number 2, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read a few verses here. Let's start in verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Of course, those are all hypotheticals, right? The answer is yes, he did. He gave them all those opportunities. Verse 29, Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. And look at this word here. Honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Father, I ask for your help this morning in preaching the message. And I pray that it would be a help to Genesis and as she's looking forward to her life and the things that you have for her. But I also do believe that it would be a help to all of us. Lord, maybe even just a good reminder to honor you in all that we do. And I pray that you'd work through the message. Give me the words to say, Father, I am desperately in need of your help today. And I ask for it. I ask for your spirit to work. Lord, that you'd move in this place. And Lord, that you'd convict hearts and encourage hearts as necessary. Well, thank you for all you do. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I know some of you are looking at the clock and it's 12:42 and you're going, what are we going to, how is he going to do this? I'm calling this a charge, not a sermon. And so that means it has a potential to be shorter. I know we're eating after this, but listen, you don't have to go anywhere. You got to eat right here. And then we're going to have church again at 2:00. So everything's going to be okay. All right. Everything's going to be fine. But anyway, I thought this would be maybe helpful for us all today. If we could just look at this idea of what it means to honor God. And this message is a little different for me. You know, if you've been here any time at all, you know, most of my messages, I try to work on and deliver a single point. I do that because sometimes I think that's about all we can handle from the Lord is you're not making 6 decisions a service. Usually, I don't think that's really even possible. So I generally just try to work on a single point. But today I have this idea that we should honor God. And then I have several practical ways that we see in the story here how we can do that. It'd be safe to say, I think if I were to say, hey, let's all raise our hand. We don't have to do this. But if I were to say, let's all raise our hand today, if you want the blessing of God on your life, I think every hand would be up in the room. I think every hand would be up. And it'd be honestly kind of strange to not want the blessings of God on our life. But some just seem to think that once we're a Christian, once we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, that sort of automatically all these blessings from God will just sort of pour out and be bestowed upon us. And there is no doubt that God gives us so many blessings, so many blessings. And by the way, they're all undeserved. We don't deserve any of the blessings. We didn't deserve the salvation, and we don't deserve the blessings that come with it. And God does bestow all these blessings upon us. But did you know this? Many of the blessings of God and the favor of God and His working in our life, much of that is conditional. Conditional. And if you need an illustration of that, you can look at the prodigal son. When he was in his father's house, he was already a son before we start reading the story. You understand? So salvation is implied there. And the fact that is, he went away. His circumstances changed when he left the house of the father, right? All of a sudden, his life went from blessing. You remember when he was in the hog trough and he thought, man, the servants in my father's house have it better than me. Why did the servants have it better than him? Because they were in the father's house. So his consequences, his surroundings changed when he changed. And so listen, if you're saved today, and what I mean is this, because this isn't necessarily a salvation message, so let me say it like this just at the beginning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, he died on a cross for you because he loves you. And he rose from the dead. And when I talk about salvation, what I'm talking about is that the fact that I know that I'm a sinner, and that's messed up my relationship with God, and I can't go to heaven as a sinner. So I can't do anything the Bible tells me. I can't do anything of myself to save myself. So I have to trust in what his son did for me when he paid my price on Calvary. That's what we call salvation. We put our faith in him. We ask him to forgive us of our sin. And he comes in and he gives us, believe it or not, this is what the scriptures, well, believe it. He says this, he gives us his righteousness. And so I don't go to heaven based upon my own merit. I go to heaven based upon his merit. And so if you're saved this morning, understand there are some blessings that come with that. Even if the prodigal stayed prodigal when he died, guess where he was going? It doesn't change. Your place in heaven is secure, and you will be made like Christ then, but boy, can we sure change the circumstances of our daily lives. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Why is that? Because there's consequences. But not only are there consequences just from our actions, if you're a son or daughter of God, did you know this? There's chastening because you're a son. And so if you go away from him, you get out of his will, and you're just sort of doing your own thing, your life is going to be much harder. You're saying no to a lot of the blessing and favor of God. And so a lot of our life and sort of how it goes, and again, I'm not talking about trials. No matter what, if you follow Christ, you're going to have trials. But if you're following him and you're in his will, he will be with you walking through those trials, and you will even be blessed during the trial. But you can sure get out from under the hand of God. And I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. You can get out from under the hand of God, and you can lose that. You can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose those blessings. And so when I say we have a bit of a choice after salvation, how we're going to live, and we all want to live this blessed life. We all want the hand of God upon us, and we want him to be there through our trials and through our difficulties. It says here in this verse, verse number 30, for them that honor me, I will honor. For them that honor me, I will honor. When we think about the word honor, we normally, and this is the message, I'm going to give you the message, I'm going to give you a couple points, and then we're going to go eat. But when we think of the word honor, we normally think of lifting something up. We honor the sacrifice of those who have served by memorializing them and remembering them, by taking a moment of silence to pray for them and their families, to lift them up. And that is basically what our English word means. It means to give proper respect to. So on this weekend, we remember our heroes that have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. We're giving them respect. We're acknowledging them. We're making them important in our minds. But the word honor here in this verse, it does carry with it those meanings, but it actually goes much deeper. It's the word kavod in the Hebrew. It goes much deeper than that. Let me give you the definition of the word honor here. It means this: to be heavy, weighty, grievous, hard to be borne. Okay, it's talking about something that's very heavy. In fact, that word honor is used in the Bible to describe heaviness. Look at chapter 4. You're in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look over to chapter number 4. Now, Eli was a large man, apparently. And so in chapter number 4, I should have given you some of the backstory. So let me just pause and I'll give you a little backstory. What's going on in the book of 1 Samuel is we sort of open it up with Hannah, and Hannah is praying for a child, and Hannah is just asking God to open her womb and give her a child, and God grants her. You remember the story? She's praying there, and Eli actually sees her praying and thinks she's drunk because she's just mouthing the words but not speaking. And she says, no, I'm praying for this child. And so God gives her the child that she prays for, and so she tells the Lord that as long as this child liveth, he'll be lent to the Lord. And so as soon as he's of age, she brings him to the temple to be lent to the Lord, to serve the Lord. And so God gave her this great blessing, and then she followed through on this promise that she made: if you'll give me a son, I'll lend him back to the Lord. So then Samuel is sort of growing up in the temple and serving under Eli. And we have this contrast between Hannah, this godly parent who prayed for the child and then gave the child to the Lord. We have this contrast. Then the next thing that happens, we see Eli and his sons. And Eli, I've read it many times and studied through it. It's not that I can find anything necessarily wrong with his personal life. The Lord doesn't point out anything in his walk with God other than the fact he honored his sons more than he honored God. That was his mistake. And the whole problem with that is Hophni and Phinehas, his two sons, were horribly wicked. And they were using the temple for their own gain and for their own benefit. And so Eli is allowing this to happen under his watch. And that's really the problem. He does gripe them out for it in chapter 2. We'll see that. But he doesn't stop it, and he doesn't do anything about it, and he causes even the people of God to abhor the sacrifice. They don't even want to come to the temple to worship because they're going to get robbed by Eli's sons. That's how bad things are going on. And so God judges Eli and his family and his sons, and in chapter number 4, the Philistines show up, and they smite Israel. And they come in, and it's this battle between Israel and the Philistines, and a lot of people use 1 Samuel 4, verse 9, the beginning of that verse. You know, you might even see it on a t-shirt sometime where it says, "Be strong and quit yourselves like men." The problem with that verse is that was the Philistines saying that, you know. And so if you ever see someone wearing that shirt, you should give them a little context. Hey, you're wearing the wrong jersey, you know. But anyway, they did. They were strong and they quit themselves like men. And guess what? They defeated Israel and they killed Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, and they took the Ark of God. And whenever this happened, a messenger comes into Eli, and look at verse number 17, chapter 4, verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years." And so this is Eli's death. But the reason I point this out is, it says this: he was an old man and heavy. He must have been a big guy. Did you know that word heavy is the exact same word for honor? Honor. So I'm just trying to use a scripture to give you a definition of a word. The word honor has this idea of heaviness. If you'll hold your place there and go to Job chapter number 6, we'll see another place where this word heaviness is used. Job chapter number 6. And I'm having trouble finding it, so if you get there and you want to read it, it might be helpful. Okay, there it is. Job chapter number 6, and look at verse number 1. But Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed." See that word? And my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier, there's the word, honor, than the sand of the sea, therefore my words are swallowed up. So Job, of course, we know the story of Job. He's going through an incredibly difficult time. And he's describing that time as a time of great heaviness. And he even refers to some balances, a scale. And so back in those days, you didn't have a digital scale. You had a pair of balances. So you'd put a known weight in one side and you'd put whatever you're trying to measure in the other. And the balances would tell you which one was heavier. And he's saying, my sorrow, if it were a weight in the balances, it'd be heavier than the sand of the sea. That's pretty heavy. So the idea of honor then, it is this idea of to lift up, to hold in respect, to set aside time, even in the heart and mind, to give to attribute some appreciation to. But it also has this idea of it being heavy. So let me just get to the punchline here. If we're looking at our life like a set of scales, and in one side of the scales is everything that we want to do, and the other side of the scale is God, the idea of honoring God would be that God would get the heavier weight. Does that make sense? And so when you study out this word, that's really what you come to, is that in a point of decision, we're going to put our side on this side of the scale, we're going to put God's over here, and His side of the scale should be heavier, should be more weighty, more important, and should get the precedent. We see the opposite principle in our text. If you look at 1 Samuel 2 again, the Lord says, "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be," and he says this, "lightly esteemed." Lightly esteemed means that they don't get, you put them on the scale, it doesn't even move the scale. It's not a big deal. Lightly esteemed means that we would despise it or think of it as nothing. It would be trash. I don't care about that. It's not worth anything. A good example of this in the book of Genesis is Esau. Esau has said to have despised his birthright. You go look up the word despised, and that word despised means lightly esteemed. He traded his birthright. He traded the firstborn status of the family to take spiritual and physical leadership of the family after his father's passing. He traded that he traded that birthright for a cup of soup. He lightly esteemed it. He didn't give it the importance, the weight that it was due. So do we understand the word honor? It means that we're going to give God the weight that He's due in the scale. And here's the fact, here's I'm thinking about this, our scales only hold so much. You can't do everything. What I mean to say is you can't do everything you want to do and everything God wants you to do. At some point, you should think about this, at some point, and again, to graduates praying about their future, I'd say this, you can't do everything. You have to choose between what God wants you to do and maybe some of the things that you have in mind. And God's scale's got to weigh more. So we find here in this text the idea that Eli's issue was that he gave more weight to his wicked sons. He honored them by, again, when he looked at the scale, he knew God was, he died when he heard, not that his sons died, he died when he heard that the ark had been taken. So he was a man of God, he was a priest, He knew that it was wrong. He even approaches his sons and tries to verbally deal with them. But honestly, he should have taken a stand to stop what was going on, because he didn't give proper weight where it was due. So we've established we want to be blessed by the Lord. We want Him to bless us. We want him to help us. We want his favor. We want his goodness throughout our days. Young people are always going, what's the secret? What's the secret to living a blessed life? How do I make sure I don't get off track? Can I tell you this? The scales, they have to tilt to God every time. Anytime the scales don't tilt to God, we've taken a wrong turn. When he says, honor me, what he's saying is, these choices that are before you, you go my way. And so I've got a few things here. First of all, honor God with your choices and your actions. Honor God with your choices and your actions. If you look at 1 Samuel 2 and get back to verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He struck it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. This is how the priest was sustained. So they did in Shiloh unto the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. So he's saying that, hey, the servant comes and, hey, we're not going to do it the way we're supposed to do it. We want the flesh before it's sacrificed. Now, this is a problem because God was very specific about how people had to bring in their sacrifices. And so the Hophni and Phinehas, they said, no, we're going to take the choice cuts of the animal, but raw, before their sacrifice, we're going to take those and enjoy those, and you can give the Lord the rest. That's what they're doing. And so they're coming in and they're doing this thing, and the people would protest. The people would say, no, this is not how I'm supposed to sacrifice. I'm supposed to give the best to the Lord, and you're supposed to get what the Lord has appointed for you to get. And so there were some that protested, and you say, how do you know that? Because I read verse 16. And if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. These are your priests. They're threatening the people of God. You're going to give us the best of the best, or we're going to take it by force. Here's the fact that Samuel's sons did not honor God in their choices. They honored themselves and made themselves rich by not giving to the Lord what was due, but greedily holding the sacrifices for themselves. Our choices matter. It's amazing to me how many choices we make without ever considering God. How many decisions that we make, and some of them are small decisions, but some of them are big decisions. And I know Eli's sons were choosing to commit a sin here, but the idea is this: they're not honoring God in how they're conducting their lives. God knows what is best for us. He always knows what's best for us. And so we must consider him in every choice. You get to a point of decision in your life. You need to, we're real good about, okay, pros and cons, right? Let's write down the pros and cons. How's this going to work out for me in a good way? Maybe what are the negatives, the pros and cons? We're pretty good about going, what did other people do, right? You get online and see what your favorite blogger would say about it, right? What did other people do here? Maybe you ask some friends. That's usually where we go. After we've kind of turned around in our mind, we'll start asking some of our friends, well, what do you think about this? And it seems like if we ever get to asking God what he wants, it's somewhere way near the back. And can I tell you, that's not putting more weight in God's side of the scales. That's not honoring. And so we have to honor God in our choices. We have to honor God with our testimony. Verse number 17, it says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. You know, the things that we do, they don't just affect us. The direction we go in our life, it doesn't just affect us. And so Hophni and Phinehas are thinking, hey, we're getting the choicest meats here. This is great. We're living, you might say, not high on the hog. That the hog wouldn't have been one of those sacrifices. But we're living in high cotton. That's what we say where I'm from, right? We live in high cotton. Meanwhile, verse 17 says, people, the Israelites, didn't even want to come to give their sacrifices, because they'd had to deal with those wicked priests. Isn't that sad? And so in the scripture says that, and Eli even tells them that you're causing others to sin. Look down to verse 23. Eli is all, he's telling his sons, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Their actions were causing other people to sin. They couldn't sacrifice properly. So our testimony, we have to honor God. Not only do we think about what decision we're going to make, but how and what would God want me to do, but how would this decision, how would this lifestyle, how would this choice affect how others see Christ in me? There's an old saying that many preachers have said, it's very good. You may be the only Bible that some people ever read. It's very true. That person at work, that person, your coworker, your classmate, they may not have a Bible at home. They may not have a Christian influence in their life. They may be looking at you for that. You may be the only one they have. If Israel only had Hophni and Phinehas, Israel is in trouble. But God had brought up a Samuel, you see. Okay, so with our testimony, honor God with our testimony. The other thing is this, honor God with our words. The priests were threatening the people. We read verse 15 and 16. The priests were threatening the people with their words. So much of our testimony, and these really kind of go together, but our testimony also has to do with how we talk. We were talking this morning, and just a few of the men out in the hall, and just how language has become so atrocious in 2025. And it used to be, and I was telling them, like, you know, I don't cuss at work either. That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? I mean, no, but even before I was a pastor, I didn't cuss at work. But you almost think, okay, the guys at the coal mine, there's going to be some language. You almost would just assume. Bunch of lost guys working, it's going to happen. But now, you can't go to the, you can't go to the play place in McDonald's without someone using that. And, you know, it just... If those people are Christian, it just kills the testimony. Kills it. And I'm talking about something as simple as just using the right words and staying away from the wrong ones. But how we talk, not only in the particular language, like the words we're saying, but even what we speak about. Hophni and Phinehas were so concerned with their own flesh. They were honoring themselves above God. They were so concerned about what they were going to get. They couldn't care less about how this was reflecting on the Lord. So, honor God with our testimony. The next one is this, honor God with our opportunities. It's Memorial Weekend. As Americans, I'd say this, we have more opportunities than any other human being who's ever lived on planet Earth, maybe other than Adam in the garden. I'm serious. Think about history. When has a human being ever had more opportunity than we have? You won't think of a time other than unless you go pre-sin. And they messed that up, you know. We'll talk to them about that in heaven. We have so many opportunities. I was thinking about this message, and I thought about Samson. You know what? What a waste of potential. Samson. The strongest man that ever lived, and yet he was so selfish and so careless and truthfully wasted his opportunity to be what God wanted him to be. God has a plan for every life in this room. And he has a calling, and you say, well, I'm not called to ministry. No, when you were saved, you were called. You were called to serve the Lord in some way, and he has opportunities for you. And I'm just telling you this. Use them wisely. Eli, when he was confronted by this man of God in verse 27 through 30, this man said, did God not give you this ministry? I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he did. God not give you the oversight of these sacrifices? Did God not put all this in your hand? You know what he's saying? He's like, didn't God give you quite a bit of freedom and opportunity here? So we have to honor God. We have to give him the weight that is due. You know, I didn't have it, and I don't want to use myself as an example, because I could, if you aren't here today, I could look at a message in a mirror and preach the message to myself. And that's the truth. We all need to work on honoring God. But I'm just going to tell you this. When I was in high school, I didn't have dreams and aspirations of becoming a pastor. Did you know that? I was at one point going to be an investment banker. I was going to college for it. That was the plan. That was where we were going. My wife was going to be a physical therapist. We had it all figured out. And you say, why'd you want to be an investment banker? Because they make a lot of money. It's not really any harder than that. And I mean, and as a, you know, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid, that's really all that you think is important. And God came and knocked on the heart and said, that's not what I have for you. And guess what? I had to make a choice. There was a scale right there. I had to make a choice. I'll give you some opportunity if you honor me. Honor God with not only your time and opportunities. Oh, we could talk about time. Let's talk about time, since it is time to eat. Time. I'm not a betting man, okay? I don't cuss at work. I also don't bet, okay? But if I was a betting man, I'd bet you, most Christians, I could put your TV time next to your God time, and it wouldn't even be a comparison. And you say, I don't watch TV. We'll include this one, okay? Because that's all this is. I bet if we put your Bible study, prayer time, I'll even include all your coming to church services. I'm glad you're here today. I'll put all that in there. No, I did a thing once where I made a chart. I like making charts. I made a chart of like how much time we spend doing different stuff. Did you know, when you look at it all together, we give God very, very little of our time. Very, very little. But His scale ought to be the heavier side. Honor God with your substance. Well, how can I be successful? Success is different for the world and God's people. Okay? Success isn't millions of dollars in the bank to a Christian. Success is living in God's will with whatever God has allowed you to have. But can I tell you this? If you honor God with your substance, He honors you. I'm just telling you, you can't expect God to bless your finances if you're not giving to God. You just can't. You can't say, I just expect God to come through this time and you're not giving to Him. I've counseled with people who are having big financial difficulties, and they're saying, you know, I've got this bill and this bill and this bill, and I only have this much money, and how's it going to work and all that, and they want some answers. And they're always surprised. My first question is this: have you been giving to the Lord? And they go, well, look at this. How am I supposed to give? I can't afford to give. And they're really surprised by this response, where I say, looking at this, you can't afford not to give. You say, how does that work? It's not an accounting thing. It's a God thing. If you'll put God first in your finances and you'll give to Him, He'll help you live off of the rest, I promise. Honor God with your substance. No, there's promises in the Bible, like this one. Where'd I put it? Put it on here somewhere. Honor the Lord with thy substance, the first fruits of all thine increase. That's not the leftovers. It's the first fruits. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The psalmist says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Honor God with your substance. What God gives to us, we ought to give back to Him the portion first. Lastly, honor God with your everything. Genesis, in your card, I wrote Colossians 3:23. It's the verse that I've tried to live by. I've definitely failed to live by that a lot. But when I sign something, I usually put Colossians 3:23 in there. It says this: and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. I don't know how you read the Bible, but whatsoever seems to cover whatsoever. In all that we do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Tip the scales God's way. Honor God with your career. Honor God with your family. Honor God with your children. We're right here in between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and we've got an example of Hannah and Samuel and Eli and his sons. We could stop and preach there. That's mother and father, right? We're not going to. Honor God in your marriage. Honor God with your job. Honor God with your hobbies. In all things, give God his proper weight. Consider him first. Make him the most important. This is the secret to a successful, blessed life. And here's the deal. It's no secret. God's given us the instruction. I was thinking about Joseph, because Joseph is this guy that his circumstances weren't always rosy, were they? I mean, he just went from being hated by his family to being in Potiphar's house, where God raised him up again. He was kind of leader in his family, and then he was leader in Potiphar's house. But then Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sin. He didn't do it, so then he got put in prison. And in prison, God again made him like leader of the prison. Amazing. And he goes from the prison to Pharaoh's house, where he became second ruler in all the world. And you say, how did a guy with such poor circumstances just keep rising to the top? Like everywhere he was at, even though these were trials that, like, some of us will never be called to go through the trials Joseph. No, none of us have been sold into slavery. None of us have been put into prison we haven't been to prison. Getting a little tongue-tied. But yet, Joseph just kept getting, it's like prospering. In fact, just kept rising to the top. You know, I went back and looked. In the book of Genesis, every time Joseph has a conversation, he mentions God. Not at the first when he's talking to his brothers about the dream, but every time after that, whenever Potiphar's wife threw herself at him, do you know what he said? How could I sin against God? When he was in the prison and those two guys were looking for someone to interpret the dream, he said, God will give you an answer of peace. When he was in Pharaoh's house and Pharaoh needed the interpretation, Joseph said this, God will give you the interpretation, Pharaoh. You see, in Joseph's life, he was honoring God. And it's just woven through the story. And so he was successful. And so if I could tell a graduate anything, and by the way, if I could tell you anything today about how you're going to live, I'll tell you this. God said this. I didn't say it. For them that honor me, I will honor. Remember what the word means, to give more weight. You give more weight to God, God gives more weight to you. That's an incredible promise. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Lord, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for, Lord, all the exciting things that we've done today. We thank you for these kids who've graduated, King's Kids, and thank you for all those verses that they've memorized. We thank you for Genesis and her, just a great accomplishment to get graduated and get through high school. And Lord, we look forward to seeing how you use her in a mighty way and how you lead her. Lord, we ask today that you'd help each of us as we all desire to live a blessed life. Lord, help us to evaluate our walk and just see if it's true that we're giving you more weight than everything else, if we're honoring you. And so, Lord, in this time of invitation, we pray that you'd work as your Spirit sees fit, and we'll ask it all in Jesus' name.